Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Dani Katz. Today, I am joined once again by wise woman extraordinaire Victoire Slakey, who is coming to us from the Sacred Valley in Peru. I invited Victoire back on the show for a Gene Keys Geek Out deep dive into the 56th and the 60th Gene Keys. As we will explain in our ensuing conversation, Victoire and I have an interesting transposition in our hologenetic profiles, where Victoire holds the 56th Gene Key in her life's work and the 60th Gene Key in her evolution sphere. I have the exact opposite, wherein I hold the 60th Gene Key in my life's work and the 56th Gene Key in my evolution sphere. And so I thought to do a nerd out deep dive into these keys, their relationship, and to nuance out how they show up differently because of these different placements. So there's a lot of juice and mojo in this conversation, even for folks who have not heard of the Gene Keys, who have not delved into the Gene Keys, who are not inspired to delve into the Gene Keys. And for those who are studying the Gene Keys, playing with the Gene Keys, I think that this conversation will help add just a little more clarity into these particular spheres, the life's work and the evolution sphere, and of course, these particular Gene Keys. Before we dive into today's conversation, I am reminding you to click that subscribe button, to like, to share, to comment, to sign up for my newsletter at dannykatz.com. It's the very best way for us to stay in touch. I'm also letting you know that as you are interested in delving into the Gene Keys, I am an official Gene Keys guide, and I love doing Gene Keys hologenetic profile reading. So if that is something that appeals to you, you can click through the link in this show description, or you can email me through my site to schedule a reading as well. I am a Gene Keys affiliate, so as you are inspired to dive into any of the courses, I encourage you to go through my website. I will also include that link to make it super easy peasy for you, because sharing is caring and caring is badass. That does it for our housekeeping. Buckle up and prepare to enjoy my conversation with Victoire Slakey. I want to catch the audience up to speed, because we had this conversation before, and due to delightful tech shenanigans, we have the opportunity to have it again. So yay, I'm always grateful for the opportunity to drop in with you. And the reason why I had invited this particular podcast conversation is because you and I share a unique Gene Keys crossover, where in your hologenetic profile, you have the 56th Gene Key as your life's work and the 60th Gene Key as your evolution. And in my hologenetic profile, I have the 60th Gene Key sitting in my life's work and the 56th in my evolution. And so I thought, what a wonderful opportunity for us to share notes about these two keys, how we experience them with the different placements, and just kind of dive into this 56-60 dance together.
Sounds great. A deja vu.
Right?
And it's always only ever, thankfully, now, right?
Yes.
So it's like we get to, yeah, that's super cool.
Yeah. 50,
it's funny because I drew the 56 this morning. I have this really beautiful Tao Oracle deck, which
okay.
is the hexagrams. Do you know that deck?
What is the deck? Is it Elijah's deck?
No. It's the Tao Oracle deck. It's the same artist, I believe, who did the Osho deck.
I'm writing it down.
He's an artist. Anyway, I have the deck of the Tao, which is basically the 64 hexagrams, which is what the 64 Gene Keys rest upon, so to speak. And anyway, so I felt to draw a card, as in to having drawn one. No, I don't know how to say, I'm going to say that. I didn't draw it, but I drew it. If you get
you chose it, or it chose you.
Right. It just kind of jumped out at me, and it was the 56. I thought, oh, I know that one. I recognize that one. And then the 60th. And so your 60 is your life's work, and your evolution is the 56. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, I'm curious, you know, and just to remind our audience, because you have been on the show before, you are also she who translated the Jean Keys tome into French. And so that's a really deep knowing and engaging with these keys. So I definitely defer to your expertise and you know, how much more time you spent with these keys. So maybe if it feels good, you could just give us an overview of the 56 and the 60 and kind of how it is that they work together.
Yes, thank you so much. And if I may, I just a little caveat, and in fact, it's a funny one, because I believe that Richard Rudd kind of opens the book with a quote of Suzuki, you know, in the mind of, I forget how it goes exactly. Sorry about the dogs. In the mind of the beginner, there is an abundance of possibilities. In the mind of the experts, there are none. And so yeah, I am definitely feeling like the perpetual beginner, because every moment is anew, you know? And I don't mean that with false humility. I just mean that this is an infinite friggin' universe. And so it's really important when you're approaching anything, and the Jean Keys, to remember that you created them. You know, can I swear?
Absolutely.
Experts, you know?
Yes.
Masters. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, even though it may sound that way.
Right.
It's just, yeah. So, and part of the reason is that, because of the heaviness of the book, I mean, it's a heavy book. It's 500 friggin' pages, right?
Right.
So there may be a risk of getting lost in it. And Richard Rudd himself has the honesty to remind people that the Jean Keys are kind of like a labyrinth. Hint, hint, nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Right.
Say no more. And that said, I have been bathing. I got immersed and sponge-like soaked up, you know, and I'm expressing through all of the orifices, not just the visible ones, all of the pores of the skin. Right.
Yeah.
And not just that, because the Jean Keys it's just a map. So don't get caught up in the, you know, religious aspect of it. Please don't. Please. Yes. It's like kind of ridiculous, because there is this aura of sacredness, which is so beautiful, and which kind of turns into this really weird dichotomy where it is myself and then the sacred. No, what is sacred is you. You
right.
are sacred, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I am. So
I want to comment on that, because I think it's so indicative of what we're talking about today. Because I remember first meeting you on Cortez Island when we had gathered for the Seven Sacred Seals retreat. And what I was really struck by was your mirth and this really playful lightness that for me, I see as really related to that intoxication, that city of the 56. And for me, that's juxtaposed to the 60th, which in my experience of it, you know, which is certainly not, you know, objective reality, but has more of a seriousness to it. And so I really appreciate that quality in you, that lightness, that playfulness. I just think it's so beautiful.
Thank you. May I take a pause to put the dog inside?
Absolutely. I will pause us now. We will be right back.
Thank you so much.
Wow, it seems like a great multi-purpose hat, except for the rain.
Well, it really is kind of like Gore-Tex. It
It suits you. It looks fantastic. Very
is.
fashion forward.
Indeed. Where were we? Oh, yes. The
Yes,
15th is mirthful and the 60th is serious. Well, yeah, definitely the intoxication is in drunk on the love of God, you know, which can kind of get pretty silly at times, right? And then, of course, the gift is enrichment, which has to do with the perpetual fullness of the cosmos, one
Say
could
more
say.
about that.
Well, imagine the cosmos. These are words, of course, they reduce because what we're speaking about is beyond words. So imagine the cosmos as, you know, what we call empty space is really full. Oh, full, 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 full of Planck's, you know, Max Planck. He was quite a guy, and so in every atom, in every subatomic particle, in every Planck, in every pixel, there's this fountain of joy, you know, ever present, ever conscious, ever blissful. It's Satchitananda, the absolute, right? And then justice is that is all one. So the totality, this infinite abundance and enrichment in every point, in every place, in every pixel, which is like an eye of God, with justice is the eye, is the one. It sees everything. And so it brings everything into the fold. Justice isn't about, you know, it's not about that. It's justice is about holding the beauty, holding the love, holding the truth. Yeah. So
I appreciate you
in a way,
saying.
it's serious because it's holding. You know, it's like seriously holding. Has a tendency to slide. Isn't that?
You
Oh,
need a chin strap.
there we go. This is my new profile.
Perfect.
Ah.
Just to catch the audience up to what we're talking about, the 56th gene key moves from the shadow of distraction to the gift of enrichment to the city of intoxication.
That's right.
Its programming partner, the 60th gene key, moves from the shadow of limitation, oh, love it, to the gift of realism and to the city of justice.
That's right.
What I appreciate about you specifying that justice is what's holding, be it the enrichment, the plonks, the quarks, the everything, is that after about, I'd say 10 or 11 years of contemplation, I feel like I finally clicked in to the 60th gene key when I understood it as like the larger kind of meta fabric in which everything else is contained, and that justice or even the limitations are just like kind of somatically or viscerally sensing distortions in that holding, and that justice is the kind of rebalancing of, you know, the peas or the bits of sand in the shoe that, as I understand the 60th in the way that I carry it, that I sense and feel. Did that make sense?
Yes, there's a sweet metaphor. I lost my nose. It fell off and rolled under somewhere.
Well, hopefully
That's
Sophie will
okay.
find it for you.
I hope not.
Then
Well,
it's bye-bye nose.
He's too old to tear stuff apart. That's definitely a beautiful description of the 60th.
How does that align with how you experience the 60th, carrying it in the sphere that codes for your evolution?
I guess it's a funny thing because evolution implies change and it implies time. And time and change could be said to be limitations, right?
Absolutely.
So it's the whatever is holding it all can see all of that has is holding everything. The absolute holds the relative. And so the rebalancing and the evolving, the transformation, the creation that is unfurling from the consciousness at the heart of creation is experienced as a temporal thing on one hand, and therefore we have a memory and we can discern whether it's evolving or devolving, right? And then on the other hand, it's all happening at once. And in that sense, everything is perfect. Because everything is in service to the totality, even though the identified being or awareness of it's perhaps, myself at times, or yourself, or whoever else is catching this whenever in the now is when we identify, as we identify with whatever small dual, the dualistic paradigm. And it feels like this, the cities are the same. So what I mean by that is that justice is intoxication. There's no difference. It's kind of like drunken boxing.
It's like what again?
Drunken boxing. Have you ever
Okay.
seen like Jackie Chan? It's like that. It's that fluidity and flexibility and apparent erraticness of the beauty of the everything showing up as a multiplicity, all held and all expressing the same thing. So there's
Right.
like a there's a there's an axis. So you can imagine justice is the axis, right? Of and then you've got the woo, woo,
Right.
dancing, something like that.
Do you see a relationship between justice, as Richard Rudd is using that term to relate to the 60th gene key, and our kind of like Cambridge OED definition of justice that like we're using as laymen?
It's there. He's speaking to it at a higher level, of course, right? Because the legalese or enculturated acceptance of understanding of justice is of something. It's like it like so many other things. It's first of all, it's nounified, right? And then second of all, it's externalized, even though that's maybe a sweeping statement. Ex according to the, I haven't reread the Oxford Dictionary definition of justice. I'm assuming that I remember and that I know what you mean, what you're talking about. Looking at the justice system
I'm
and
going to look up the definition for us while you speak.
okay, yeah. So My sense from, I remember Richard writing about it, is that he was speaking of another, he was speaking of it from another level. Remember that he had some kind of, probably more than one. And he's not the only one, by the way. I mean, a lot of other people have had peak experiences where we meld, our consciousness dissolves back into the mind of God. And so you can't really forget that.
Right. Have you had those experiences?
Yeah, I have. I have. Not my own.
So the definition of justice, according to Mr. Internet, is the principle of fairness and rightness, ensuring that individuals are treated impartially, and that those who have wronged others are held accountable, while also ensuring that everyone receives what they're due.
That's pretty beautiful.
So as I say that, my question is twofold. Do you see a relationship between that definition and how you experience the city of justice in the Jean Keyes paradigm? And do you see yourself as having a particular relationship either to this definition or to the Jean Keyes justice with its placement in your profile?
Well, I hear what you just read and definitely feel that there's a resonance. Even though it's speaking more to the dualistic world where there's good and evil.
Right.
Okay. Which, I mean, at this level there is, and not anything goes, right? I mean, not anything should go. Right. That's brings a friend of mine's quote. I don't know where he got it from. Friend of mine, Eric, he said to me once, do no harm and take no shit.
Word.
Lovely, right? So as far as I'm concerned, my own journey with in terms of Jean Keyes and with the specifically, because the evolution, remember, in this system is something which is going to continually challenge you.
Yes.
And as you meet those challenges, so you go from life's work to evolution. And as you do that, this is kind of like what's showing up consciously for you. Every challenge is an opportunity to grow, to integrate, to transcend and include.
Yes.
And transcending and including, a priori, is that an English word too? Is the limitation. You know?
Okay.
Limitation and then realism. Which are all, it's just one, it's a frequency band. It's one thing. Justice, realism, limitation, it's one thing. Mm-hmm. It's just one thing showing up at different frequencies. So as you meet your challenges, whatever was that, basically what it means is that the low frequency, you're alchemizing it and rising past it. And again, it has a lot to do with beliefs, identifications, you know, perception, where the Buddhists talk about the correct view.
Yes.
And correct view is very synonymous with realism, right? And the principle of reality has a lot to do with the head.
Mm-hmm.
With the, you know, the cognitive capacities, the imaginative capacities, the perceptual, why are all, you know, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the ears, are on the head, right? So that has a lot to do with this, the upper chakras as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the higher up you get, the like the mountaintop, the farther you can see, right? And it's not seeing with the outward eye, which is why the statue is as it doesn't have it has the I'm sorry, it has the shape, it's, you know, it has the
blindfold.
Because it's seeing through the inner eye
Yes.
of the heart. Because the heart is what balances everything. The heart is the leader of the coherence. And coherence is synonymous with fairness. With everyone getting treated correctly.
Right.
And not according to some outside dictate. According to the feeling of everyone being treated from within, knowing that this is fair. In other words, this is love, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, so beautiful.
So I can see in my life, and this is something that Richard and I have disagreed on before, and I think you and I may have talked about it, but, you know, I started leading revolutions in fourth grade. I was very attuned to this is wrong, this is right, you're treating the girls in our class unfairly. And then I found the Gene Keys obviously much later, 2010, and I didn't even discover my profile, I think, until maybe 2013 or 2014. I was just working with the book as an oracle. But when I discovered that, it made sense to me, like, oh, I definitely have this attunement to justice. Richard has said, no, you're using justice wrong. That's not what it means. I believe with everyone, you know, teachers, friends, colleagues, I take what resonates, I toss what doesn't. That doesn't really resonate with me, but, you know, all respect to Richard, of course. But I'm wondering how you see that frequency band shaping your earth walk. And how it affects you with where it sits for you.
Well, as a incorrigible drunk, and I mean that metaphorically because I am a teetotaler, Claire. I felt the same way when I discovered the Gene Keys and saw my profile and I saw intoxication. I was like, what's that? Whoa, that sounds horrible. And I was like, oh my God, that's like, yeah, get, you know, it's like contact high, here she is, you know, it's like, so a very little bit suffices. And the shadow of distraction has been a fun and a doozer, you know, to bring the attention back, bring the attention back, bring the attention back, bring that attention back inside. God damn it. It's like, come on, bring it back in. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, I take it off. I don't leave it on very long because it kind of hurts right here.
We don't want you to be in pain, but it does look great on you. And it reminds me of my dad who had a handlebar mustache.
Right. That's incredible. And I don't know where the nose went. So the point is that you know, they're poor programming partners. So distraction is partnered with limitation at the shadow level. You can see how that is, you know, a pretty fair description. And so my journey has been to both recognize my distractions. It's like, what? Who's distracted? You know,
me.
And oh, did I just say that? Yes, it's true. Yes, yes, yes. Just like my dear dad, you know, your dad had a handlebar mustache. My dad was friggin' so distracted. I just love him to bits. And I don't know if he's distracted in heaven. Probably heavenly distracted. Anyway, so the distraction, it was also recognizing how the concept of limitation, how I was embodying the concept, not a concept, but how I was embodying what limitations meant, you know, viscerally, like tangibly for myself, not at a conceptual, oh, well, I'm, no, it's like, you know, how do I feel limited and stuff? And of course I did, you know, whatever. A poem by Kurt Vonnegut just popped into my mind. We do, doodly, doodly, doodly do. what we must, muddily, muddily, muddily must, until we bust, bodily, bodily, bodily bust.
What I love about that is that we started this conversation before we even started recording, talking about the joys of being in a body, maintaining the body, the limitations of the body, the challenges of the body, the joys and opportunities of the body. It's like quintessential limitation.
Well, yeah, I mean, by definition, it's mortal and it's limited, you know, it has a volume and it has a peremption date and all this other kind of stuff. And measurements and whatever, right? And it's just a vehicle, so it's not a big deal. I mean, it's like whatever furniture we have in our house is also limited, and our cars or our bicycles or our motorcycles, our shoes are limited, and so the body is the same. The identification with I am the body, that's the frequency of the shadow. That's where all the suffering comes from. And there's nothing wrong with it. It has to do with our remembering. It's like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, right. I don't remember how or when, only I know that at one point I chose all of this. I'm here. I am here. I am here. I'm here. I'm here. Mm-hmm. And so the distractions of the body and the limitations of the body, when they are seen, when they're acknowledged, it's really about acknowledgement, I would say, more than acceptance. Because Richard talks about allow, accept, and embrace. I would say, yeah, you can say acceptance. I would say acknowledge, allow and acknowledge and forgive, release, let go, detach. Mm-hmm. And so then you have enrichment, which is paired with realism. So the more that we come into the now, because this is really the only thing that matters. In fact, you can write a 500-page book, and the only thing that really matters, and he says it himself, if you look at so many of the cities are basically talking about the present moment. Everything is in the present moment. So we cease being distracted, and we cease being limited, because limitation is just it's a false belief. It's like a false perception. So as we come into the now, and it's not just about mindfulness of like, oh yes, I am surrounded by this and then this is going. No, it's not that. It's about actually finding your point of origin, which is the black hole from where time then emerges. Mm-hmm. So from now, which is the moment of power, which is the only thing that's real, and which is infinitely rich, then we step into the realm which has been there all along, which is intoxicated and just, mm-hmm. and beautiful and perfect, and all of the other cities that you can find going through the book. And so for me, it's been really realizing how deeply realism isn't about get real. Get real. Like, no, it's like, yeah, real is real. What is real is magical.
Yeah. I feel like that's the saving grace of the 60th Gene Key, is that, because it sounds so stark, limitation, realism, justice. And the truth of realism is that magic is real. And I like when you brought in, when we pair it with enrichment, for me, I take that to mean alchemy, right? And it's so uniquely individual what enrichment is going to be for you as a teetotaler versus what enrichment is going to be for me also as a teetotaler. But you know what I'm saying, with our unique configurations of our senses and our karma and what we bring to it. And so what is your experience of that magic that is realism?
Oh, wow. I mean, that's just like, it's the absolute. It's the Satchitananda, ever present, ever conscious, ever blissful. Everything, yeah. And also witnessing the shift from the perception of limitation of like when the head brain, you know, gets perhaps back into its treadmill, you know, and it's just like that's an old record. And not only that, the record is scratched.
Right. And it's skips.
It skips and it goes back and it plays the same thing over and over again. And then you look up and it's just like, wow, look at this library of LPs, of records, of everything, of all the music, of all the notes, of all the expressions of all the creations that have ever been, that will ever be, because there is only now. Everything is, you know, creation is complete. And it's funny because the senses still report a certain kind of solidity, you know, an opacity and, you know, frequency or whatever. And yet this is a dream.
I it's like, of course, I've heard so many times that this is a dream, and they're in all the different cultures, be it the Maya or, you know, Paul Levy's Wetiko work, you know, native cultures, what have you. And yet, you know, part of what marks this incarnation for, I'd say, the vast majority of us is that we forget. And so we're born into this dream and we buy into the dream as reality. And it's very easy to say, well, this is all a dream. This is all Layla. This is all a dance. And yet, again, that density of that 60th, of that limitation, you know, is ever present, you know, for so many of us here. And I go in and out of sometimes, you know, someone will say to me, it's a dream. And I'll be like, go fuck yourself. Like, that's nice. Tell it to my landlord, you know, tell it to, you know, the stack of bills or whatever it is, you know? So
all that stuff. You chose all that stuff too. And so did I. And that's not enough. I get it. I agree. Did I interrupt you?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I think the point you're making is really important, because the point about it being a dream and realizing that it's a dream and embodying that realization is being able to be fully present in it. And what that means, what that entails, is actually being here all the way down, and therefore coming from a place of, dare I say, absolute equanimity, calm. In other words, in order for one to be truly, authentically, coherently coherent, one needs to feel safe, right? And what is safe as an immortal being in a mortal body is not a given.
On a spinning rock in a, you know, violent realm of ferocity and unfairness.
So this is where the sacred marriage between the ego and the higher self comes in as a target, as the aspiration of the ego for transcendence, for God, for redemption, for all of the things. Realizing that it's actually coming from within oneself. And then as the two meet, as heaven and earth meet within oneself, and they do through our vertical axis, and we can go all the way down to the root, and there embody and choose how it is we want to live our life. And it can be helpful to you know, have examples of others that have, like, you know, like had near death experiences. So they've because it's the fundamental limitation that so many people are trying to distract themselves away from is death.
Yeah, I mean, if we, I
It's
feel
not
like if
death
we,
of the self, it's death of the body, death of the little self.
right.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's the root cause of a lot of the distortions we're currently playing out is the unacknowledged fear of death. You know, what Stephen Jenkinson calls a death-phobic culture. You know, so when I look at the injustice,
It's been totally normalized.
totally normalized. And I don't know how it was for you in Peru, but here in the States, you know, with the whole COVID pandemic and watching how people so easily kneeled and willingly, you know, gave away their rights and their freedom, I point that back to an unacknowledged fear of death.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Yeah, what I said was it was weaponized. Fear
Yes.
instrumentalized. I think who was it of somebody we both know. I mean, I don't know him personally. David, Dr. David, you know the guy, the bald guy.
David Martin? I
Yes.
do know him personally.
Yes, he spoke to that. He spoke to that at one point. I was like, that's right on. So really, and so really looking at that, and for a lot of us, and you said it, you alluded to it when you talked about the landlord, you know, that safety, that existential safety has to do with money. You know, how am I going to survive? In other words, I'm going to die if I don't have
Right.
any money. And this has been very deeply kind of embedded into the subconscious mind, which is the lower chakras. Again, subconscious is not conscious. Well, it can be. It's not readily conscious. It can become conscious. That's the work, the life's work that we have to do, that we're here for, partly to render everything that is our vehicle conscious so that we can then do whatever it is we want to do, we wish to do.
Right.
It makes our heart sing from a place of equilibrium, from a place of balance, from a place of alignment, and justice. Right? Justice is such a beautiful word. It's like, imagine you're baking something, you're cooking something, and you've got all the ingredients in the whole world in your kitchen. Oh, just a little bit of this, and just a little bit, and just a lot of that. You know, it's just like just this much, not more, not less. That's justice. It's perfect. It's just the right amount.
Right. And at the same time, in the quantum languaging paradigm that I write about and teach about, just is also a word that diminishes, right? Oh, you know, you look beautiful today. Oh, you know, I just threw myself together, right? It's a way for us to kind of evade our greatness. Oh, that's a beautiful painting you made. Oh, it's just a study. You know, we see it in people who are choosing to make themselves small.
Right, which is a really silly thing to do in an infinite universe, right?
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
It's fine though, because it's also, I don't know, it's sweet. You know, it's kind of like I'm just sitting with it. I'm just sitting with it.
Right? It, when I think of just, I think of in that usage, right? Because like so many words, there's so many different ways, right? And in what you were saying about, you know, baking a cake or something, it's beautiful. As the root of justice, it's beautiful. In the diminishing sense, I tend to think of Marianne Williamson's quote, where, you know, the world doesn't need us to make ourselves small. It needs us in our greatness, in our most powerful iterations and expressions. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's okay too. I think there are this is a teacher I really like called RJ Spina, who spoke of seven toxic words. and just wasn't one of them, although it might have been if it was the if you'd chosen eight. Try, but what were the other ones? How, why,
Is
missing
should
four.
in there?
Blood is in there. Fuck yeah. Should, and then there's two more. Off the top of my head, they're not coming right now. I only know that just wasn't one of them. And anyway, it's okay. I get definitely it can be used as a diminishment, kind of like when somebody doesn't, like you said, acknowledge and celebrate a compliment. You look beautiful today. Oh, I do, don't I? I'm so pleased with myself. In fact, it's making me positively loopy.
However, if I were to offer you a compliment, Victoire, you look beautiful today, and you said, no, I don't, kind of what's being implied is Danny, you're an idiot, or Danny, you're wrong. Right. It's a way of telling the other person that they're incorrect in a relational sense, right? We would be giving voice to our own insecurities or our own self-judgment, but also laden in that communication is you are wrong to compliment me.
Right, which is just a projection of how one feels towards oneself.
Of course. Of course. It's something that I share with clients who I'm working with when I see this pattern in terms of like sometimes it's easier for us to step into our power through a side door, which is being gracious and honoring in a relational sense, and using that practice of I'm going to honor you, Victoire, in complimenting me as a side way in to cozying up to my own self-worth.
Something like that.
Something like that. So, how does your relationship with justice and realism show up in the face of the current world situation?
The current world situation, you mean the one that's reflected through the medias?
Yes. And I again, you're in Peru, I'm in the States, so we might be having, I'm sure we're having very different experiences of it. Here, a lot of people have internalized the engineered divide and are therefore on the regular dehumanizing their fellow brothers and sisters. I see that on the daily here. I don't know if that's, you know, so there's what the media is showing us, fear, doom, gloom, but then there's also how that's being internalized and how humans are then treating one another because of it.
Yeah, that's pretty freaking crazy, right? It's just I have a practice, part of the practice that I love is to actually look at things from the news, say. Not maybe any news, probably more alternative news, and discernment there as well, right? And to get a sense and to hold that as there was another teacher that I really love is Neville Goddard.
I love Neville.
And he would say, the world is you pushed out. So the thing about avoid the news, avoid all this other stuff is yes, because how are you looking at it? Not the forbidden how of the seven words how, but that how is like, how is this gonna work? That's the how. It's like I have to know how. Just the attitude, what attitude? So, to respond, my my witnessing, like if I will call it that, is a form of realism, right? It's a form of realism with the knowing that it's all happening within, even though it looks like it's happening outside, and that because I am the creator, and through the magic, right? Then if I hold the axis of justice, that will help the equilibrium, the harmony of the world. They say there's, I don't know what they call them, I forget, giants meditating in the caves in the Himalayas,
mm-hmm.
holding the frequency of the Most High in order to, keep the earth wobbling well. Because it does wobble, but it wobbles pretty well, so that it doesn't wobble uncontrollably into perdition. And I sense that that's our job as well. My job, I don't know, it's part of my passion anyway. So that's how I approach it, because I also know that coherency is very, 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 very contagious.
Absolutely.
And so, there's more and more beings on this planet that are vibing like that, which is also why it's getting clearer and clearer to see all the bullshit.
Right.
What do you do with the bullshit? You got to take care of your own shit. It's like, let's do compost. Let's compost our shit. Let's not put it in the water. Let's make compost toilets. Let's deal with our shit. Let's transmute it. Let's alchemize it. Let's grow a beautiful, beautiful garden here on this planet that we call home.
Right? So when you're faced with injustice on the personal level in real time, how do you handle that? How do you meet that?
Like an injustice I would feel was done to me? Is that what you mean, on a personal level, or that I can see through my person in the immediate environment?
Both.
Okay.
That does it for the first half of my conversation with Victoire Slakey. As you are inspired to tune into the second half, you can find that on both my Locals and Patreon sites. Those addresses are dannykatz.locals.com and patreon.com/dannykatz. At both platforms, for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half conversations, plus oodles of bonus content. As you are inspired to tune in to my Words podcast, which I have been co-hosting with Miss Emily Moyer for the past 8 years, that is available for folks who are subscribing on either the Patreon or the Locals at a $10 or higher level. I want you to have all of the information so you can make an informed decision as to what tier of support feels most aligned for you. Also, one last reminder to sign up for my newsletter at dannykatz.com. And as you are inspired to dive deeper into your gene keys with a hologenetic profile reading, please reach out to me through my site and let's get that scheduled and geek out together. Thank you so much for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. I will see you over on the Locals and the Patreon. Have a rockin' day.